Everybody, I'm Haley.
I'm Bea McGrew.
This is the Bookish Forever podcast. And if you are a new listener, this is like an extension of the platform created to like uplift books and women of color who write.
All right. So Kay was given a question. I think it's pretty cool. I like this. Basically, and correct me if I'm like describing it wrong. Basically, in the book world, we have a bunch of books that we consume that we love. Which books would you, you know, want to see as a movie or a TV show? I got to be honest. All of my favorite books already were made into movies. So I'm going to go to like my like tier two of favorite books is literally, again, here goes another podcast, but Twilight, The Hunger Games, The Fault in Our Stars, Everything, The Sun is Also a Star. Literally all of my favorite. And first off, I just want to say Twilight is the only, you know, series where I saw the movie first, then the book. So I've been very lucky that I've gotten, because it's like everybody knows there's something very special about reading a book, loving it so much, and then 2-3 years later finding out that it's going to be a movie or a TV show. So I got lucky that all these books that I fell in love with immediately turned into movies. Like within like 2 years of me reading them, they were movies. Actually, I think Everything, I read it like October of 2016, and didn't it come out in like 2017 or 18?
Remember. Yeah, I think I read that a few months before it came out too.
Yeah,
so I got lucky that it wasn't too much of a wait for me.
Yeah, so for my tier two, I don't even want to say tier two because I really truly love these books, but just not, you know, I truly love Fangirl, and I might get flack for that because I know that the author is canceled now. I just want to put a disclaimer that I read this book before I knew that she was canceled. Rainbow Royal, I don't know her last name. But when I read Fangirl, first off, it was the first book I read in third person that I actually liked. Because, Kay, you know this about me. I'll read the first chapter, like not the first chapter, I'll read the first page and I'm like, nah, I can't do this. I don't need you talking to me. I want to be the, you know, I want to be the protagonist or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was so long ago when I read Fangirl that I can't even remember the details. You know how it is when you just remember how a book made you feel. Yeah. I remember reading this book and I was just like, oh my gosh. Like she would have random dance parties to Kanye West music. Anybody who knows me knows that Kanye West was my favorite rapper and he's secretly still my favorite rapper. I just focus on his music. I don't pay attention to nothing else, but Kanye West, you know, for years has been my favorite rapper. So for her, like this girl writes fan fiction and she has anxiety and she's a daddy's girl. And does that sound like anybody you know, Kay? And she's having dance parties to Kanye. And I was just like, oh, it was rare to really relate to a story on that level. Cause I always say like, you can relate to people's like energies and things like that when you're reading a book. But like for prime example, like Bella.
Yeah,
I love reading her point of view. I don't relate to Bella because I don't think I would have made any of the decisions realistically that she made. But like this girl, I can't even remember her name. I think her name was Kat. I don't even know. I'm not going to try to lie. but I would love to see that as a movie pre-cancellation. And it's no other reason other than I just love the book and I was excited that I could actually get into a book that is a third person narration.
Yeah.
So that's my first one. I'm going to take some time for the second one, but what's
so
yours?
For me, even though this is, I'm going to say this is me cheating just a little bit only because they did do the play of it. But I always, once I saw the play and once I read the screenplay, I'm not gonna lie and said I wouldn't have wanted to see the last Harry Potter installment as a movie. And you know, she's kind of canceled now too.
But I said before she was canceled.
Yeah. So like she's canceled now too. And again, I will forever love the Harry Potter series. And because everything I ever bought is already bought, so it's not like she's gonna make any more money off of me. But I did enjoy the play and I thought like, of course there were things that probably was a bit unnecessary, but that's like also because of the gap between, you know, when she started writing Harry Potter and this. So I wouldn't mind, honestly, seeing the actors come back just to kind of pull off Harry being a dad. And kind of seeing the, because the fact that, you know, the relationship between them in the play was so, like, strained that I would have, and, you know, being that Harry kind of grew up with, like, his aunt and uncle who were really shitty to him, and the only thing he had was people at Hogwarts, it was interesting to see that he wound up growing up and not even having the best relationship with his oldest kid. So I would have I think for a second. Well, there's a lot of things that I'm not going to say because that would definitely spoil it, but I wouldn't mind seeing them just come back that one time just to see how they will pull it off, because they're all adults now. So to see if they can pull that off, like, you guys are older and, you know, you guys can pull off a lot better being adults than you guys did when the last movie came out, and they try to make you guys look old, even though you clearly weren't. They put, like, a little gray hair dye to make people look older. Just like, stop it, guys. Freak.
You're now 35.
Yeah, like, this is not even working. Your face still look bad young, but I guess. So I wouldn't mind seeing that, only just to kind of see it, like, tied up, I guess, if that makes sense.
Okay. So, okay, if we were able to do that, then, hey, I got my next two answers. So, tell me if this is cheating. I don't even care if it is, because this is my answer. So, I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but I love Twilight. So, so at first, I was going to say, oh, well, if that's the case, I want to see Midnight Sun and Edward's POV. I just want to see all the scenes that we didn't get to see in the movie. But actually, I want to change it. Do you remember a couple, actually, no, it was a few years ago, where there was a rumor that they were going to do a TV version of Twilight, new actors and actresses and things like that.
Yes.
And at the time, I was anti it, because if it's not Rob and Kristen and Taylor, even Taylor, I even add Taylor, if it's not them, cognitively, I just didn't want to see it. I've grown since then, and I am so thirsty for Twilight content that I'm willing to take it any way they will give it to me. So if they were able to, you know, what is it called? Not revamp. What is it called when you do something over again?
Reboot.
There we go. I'm a writer. if they were able to reboot Twilight with, you know, actresses and actors that looked more like the, gosh darn it. What is the other word when it's like a, comic book, but it's not, and it has pictures of everything.
Graphic novel.
There we go. Guys, it's been such a long day. If they could have actresses and actors that look more like the graphic novel, or more like what Stephanie had in mind, I would love to see that. And like people of the age and things like that. Because let's be real, Rob was 37 years old in New Moon. Now, granted, no, he wasn't. He's not even 37 in real life. But in the movie, he looked, it's like, there's no way in real life you would walk and be like, oh, Edward Cullen is 17. He did not look 17. So I wouldn't mind seeing actual, like, Kristen was her age for the first couple. But I wouldn't mind seeing that new, like, nobody's too. Like, I don't want anybody who's known to be cast. I want it to be like, complete newcomers that, you know, nobody knows. They don't even do indie stuff. I would eat that up. And then also, I feel like when it's a TV show, you get so much more because they have to give you 10. Well, I was going to say 20, but this day and age, 10 episodes per season. They can stretch that out and we can get all the chapters that we were deprived of in the films. And I'm going to spare y'all. I'm not going to go through and say blood type and all the chapters that I wanted, or chapter 20 compromise should be different in Eclipse. But anyway, it's not weird to know the chapter number and name, right? That's not.
No.
Okay, good. All right. So I guess that's my answer. I would love to see a television adaptation of my favorite series of all time.
You know what? I actually wouldn't mind that either, especially if it's unknown. Because I feel like when just unknown actors and actresses, you have no expectations.
Yes. And then I want Jacob to be taller than Edward. Like, I want it to be literally how it is in the book.
And also, like, bigger. Like, in record, he got, bigger. Like, he was, like, his muscles were bigger. And, like, they made a notion to make us realize, okay, clearly he changed. Yeah.
Exactly. I want Bella to be a little bubblier because in the book, like, I love how Kristen played Bella because you would think realistically in the whole aspect of the series, it is darker. It should be darker. This is about death. It's darker, right? But when you're reading, like, certain chapters in Twilight and certain chapters in Eclipse, she's a little funnier and lighter, and her clumsiness is more quirky than it is, like, go, I hate my life, I fell down. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And that's no dig on Kristen, because, again, I love how she interpreted Bella, but the book, she was a little lighter, in my opinion. So I would like to see those cadences, and I would also like to see Edward's speak more like he's from the 1900s. Like, in the book, he was freaking speaking like he was Shakespeare. Though, yes, I know I'm not dumb. I know Shakespeare wasn't the 1900s, but you know what I mean.
He's from, like, that time period.
Exactly. They watered the, I think because it's a teen movie, I think they watered down the way, like, Edward's cadence a little more for the movies to make it make more sense. But yeah, I just want to see, like, I want to see, do I dazzle you? Yeah, you dazzle me, daddy. Oh, sorry. That's not in the book. That's in my imagination.
Oh, man. Anyway,
but yes,
Twilight just became, you know, Twilight just went from YA to
50 Shades. I just turned Twilight into 50 Shades in one sentence. Yeah, you dazzle me, daddy. But you have to say daddy with, like, D-E-A-D-D-A, daddy, like that. Anyway, all right, now what's yours? This is hard.
Okay. I think my next one, Alyssa Cole, she does, like, romance and, like, sci-fi books, but her, she has, like, a Civil War trilogy. Like, it's a love story, but, like, it's not, like, the heroine is a Black woman and during the Civil War who's, like, you know, she's, like, a spy and she's, like, getting, you know, people to freedom. And it's written so well in the way that you want their love story to make it, and the white guy who's the hero of the story isn't looked at like the hero, like, he's, like, not the hero complex, you know, hero of stories where they have the white guy see the person of color. And it's not written that way. And I think for that reason and how well she told the story, I would love to see the three of those, like, either in, like, a mini series where you can kind of spread it over so you don't have to cut stuff out of it, or, like, Netflix, like, if Netflix was to do it and they, like, broke the three books into, like, three different seasons. I would love to see that because she told the story so well. And I'm like, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to pull this type of story during that type of, you know, climate.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, without it looking like, ooh, what is this? She did it in a way that I, like, genuinely enjoyed the story. Like, it's one of actually my favorite stories by her. But like I said, the hero is, like, he's there, but it's not in no way where he's overshadowing her.
I have a question. What is it called again?
It's called An Extraordinary Union.
An Extraordinary Union. Okay. In today's climate, and I'm asking you this because of my personal writing and how it's been affecting me. When you see stuff like that, where it's like, you know, it's during that time, which is obviously one of, if probably the worst time in our nation's history, like, you know, anything dealing with slavery and things like that. Do you think that's something that would be, I know you said she wrote it in a special way. And honestly, the way you described it makes me actually want to read it. And you know, I don't like historical fiction at all, but that sounds very interesting. And Bridgerton kind of lightweight changed my views on things. So I have to be more open now. But do you think that would be something that would be receptive and not viewed as, like, I know you're saying he's not getting that hero complex, that white savior. Do you think that will still, can it be conveyed in this day and age in 2021 with social media and how everything is now?
I mean, I feel like because in this regard, like, the book starts with she's already, like, she's not in slavery, so she's freed. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, a spy, so it's like it's no part where there were parts that are a bit hard to, you know, because again, time period, but it's nothing where it's like trauma, you know, trauma porn, like where the shows are specific that it's the history, but do we need to have another story where we're showing Black people's pain? So it's not that. This is one of the reasons why I actually really enjoyed it, because like it told a story, but it's not where I have to sit and like oh, damn, this is harsh. Like, you know, even though we know it is, but it's different to have to, like, well, you know, you get stories that do well sometimes, and it's always the stories that's, like, you know, extra painful, or, yeah, like, it focuses on all the pain aspects of the story. So this does not do that. It's literally, like, it's, like, that's, like, I want to say that's, like, the story within the love story, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I, like, that's why I actually appreciated the way she wrote it, because it's not written in a way that's, like, goddamn, do we need another story like this? It's not that. And that's why I really, really appreciated it, because it's not, you know, it's done in a respectful manner where you can still, if the story is being told, again, the hero is not looked at as, like, the hero, like, he's saving the Black woman in the story, which sometimes we get when we get those interracial stories in this type of situation. It's literally just, you know, they're doing their jobs at the time and they happen to fall for each other. And then she does it in a very respectful and an intelligent manner that I would love to see it. Like I said, like, maybe if not a miniseries, like on Netflix, like where they can just break down the books and, like, you know, different seasons.
Right. Oh, look at you. You jump from a miniseries. So let me get a full order of 6 seasons.
Just kidding. Well, I know it's a trilogy. So it's like, you know, different. Like, so I feel like if you're going to do the whole thing, you do it right. So if you don't get a miniseries, then yeah, like you put like a Netflix series and just have it different seasons to break down the books at per season. But I actually really enjoyed it because it was done so well. Like, you know, I'm really impartial to some historical fiction for that very reason. Because I don't always want to read where things are like extra painful. And I'm glad that she put in a way that you can still tell the history and still have it where it's not just a whole bunch of bad, 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 bad. So,
yeah, you know, I gotta say, you know, I'm a weirdo when it comes to, I have an issue with this new thing about, how can I describe it? Like Lena Waithe and, I can't even think of anybody's name right now. I'm really having one of those days where the words are just there and I can't get them out. But anyway,
I think I know Twitter, it's a show, right? That new show she has.
Yeah, she has multiple shows, but yeah. So, but there's multiple like different Black directors and producers right now that are getting pretty much dragged on Twitter because they're saying that they just like doing Black trauma and this and that, da da da. So this is where I stand. One, I don't feel like anybody has a right to tell anybody what art they want to create, right?
Yeah.
Two, we shouldn't be mad at just the creators. What about these big corporations that are only funding the quote unquote Black trauma, right? Three, you literally can't win either way, because I tweeted about this. When something is produced that takes place in the 1800s or the 1700s, we're Black. We are going to be slaves. I'm so sorry. That is our history. We can't erase that, right? Now, everybody complains, like, why we have to have so many slave movies? Why we have to do this, right? I get that. Now, let's go to something like Bridgerton. Bridgerton takes place, I forgot when, but 1800s to 1700s, whatever. And you have these royal people. They talk about race maybe one time, and then everything is about the actual storylines. It's not about any Black trauma specifically, da-da-da. And you know what Twitter was doing? This isn't realistic because there's no way he could have been a duke in 18, da da da. And it's like, what do you want? Because unfortunately, he would have been a slave. You know what I mean? So do you want to see Black people in multiple different types of art and then complain about it? Or do you want the more realistic thing? You know what I mean? That's what bothers me. So my thing is, write whatever the hell you want and leave it as is. And it sucks that the big, you know, $1 million, $1 billion companies are only giving the big bucks and the green light to the slave movie, to the segregation movie, to the whatever. I understand that part. But to pin it on just the Black, because what happens if we just stop writing? Because we already know what happens. Our history gets erased already. History. Let's not do that with the creatives. So I have a very uncomfortable feeling about it. And again, that's not saying that everything should be Black trauma, because absolutely you have days where you don't want to watch that. Like, I still haven't watched When They See Us because in Fruitvale Station, because I physically cannot watch those movies and see that Black trauma. And that's just me. Does that mean that the movie should have never been made? Absolutely not. I don't believe that's true. So anyway, that's completely off topic, but it's just like a trigger for me because it's really stunted my writing. And I think, remember that book? Well, the book I told you about that would have been my first book and it would have been my second book. And now it's technically supposed to be my third book.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I'm having trouble releasing it because I wrote it in the lens of just writing two characters. The main character, it switches POVs. It's a white boy and a black girl in college. His father is a Republican, not pre-Trump Republican. So, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's just a black girl, da 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 da. And I was reading over it and I'm like, what if somebody reads this and thinks this is like a white savior thing? Because it was never supposed to be like that. You know how I am. All of my characters, the relationships,
yeah,
they help each other grow, they help each other out. Their lowest moments, the other person is there for them. And I'm sitting here like, wow. Everything is such cancel this, oh, look at this, whatever, that I can't even, and it's one of my favorite books I've ever written, and it has literally nothing to do with the white savior trope. It has nothing to do with, why does this YA book, why does it have to be with a white boy? Why can't he be black? Like, literally, it's part of, I really just don't want his dad to be a black Republican because those make me sad. And the concept of the book is part of that, you know, them coming with completely different backgrounds. So anyway, I'm rambling, but stuff like that just really pisses me off because it's like we're at that point now where you literally almost have to walk on eggshells just to tell a story. Fictional, fake people who do not exist.
Yeah.
And it's a whole thing. And it's like when, and it just happened like in the last couple of years because it was not like this. Like I never felt like this writing in 2016, 2017, even 2018. It's like the last couple of years it's been like it needs to be specifically about this. Look, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
whatever. I'm sorry, I'm rambling, but you brought up the word trauma and it literally triggered me because that's how it is now.
I just pinging back off of the Bridgerton show. I saw the stupid comments about that, and I don't think people realize in general there wasn't a lot of dukes in general. Like, exactly. I believe in history, there's probably maybe 10. And if you think of all the books people wrote about dukes, it is like, well, if y'all going to make that argument, you need to make the argument about how do we have these many books then. Right, in general, with all these dukes, because in history, there were not this many. There really weren't. They were right. Only, you can count them on your hand. And yet, everybody and their mom has some kind of Duke of Duchess, just like, you know, just everywhere. So, I mean, you can't use that excuse as well. Oh, he wouldn't have been. Because, well, would he have? I mean, really, we technically wouldn't have had these many Dukes. Like, where's all these Dukes come from then, if you want to talk about, if you want to be clear? I remember one of my writing friends had to tell somebody off about this, about something a friend of hers was writing. And some white woman kind of like did this whole racist rant. And people were like, well, if you really wanted to use Google, use it correctly and know that you're wrong because, you know, it wasn't even that many for you guys to be writing so many books about them. And yet here we are with like a whole thing where it's like everybody and their mom was writing about dukes and stuff. Right. And then I do think that it's like a mix of, yeah, there was black people in royalty. That was like one thing I love. My mom's always like find this stuff out for me and just be like, here you go. Yes. And just teach me stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. It's like, I didn't know, like, you know, you'll be surprised of how the, you know, how you'll be surprised at how much the black people really, like, of course there were the slaves, of course, but because of, you know, the intermingling and like you'll be surprised, or like if they didn't come from America necessarily, like when I was explaining to people about the black guy that was in the Titanic, and I was like, no, seriously, he was one of the richest guys on that boat, and he's exactly. Never really talked about because, you know, they always say, oh, the white people, but, and it was like he was the one, because it wasn't many, I think it was like maybe four or five black people on the actual Titanic, and the rest of them were considered like, I think, property. They weren't listed under names, but he was. And I'm like, yeah, he literally had his own money and he died helping people. And I'm sure he was trying to get money back to his wife. That was why he was on Titanic in the first place. But most people didn't know he was on there. And I was like, if you don't research things, you would just think, oh, no, no, no. And I'm like, no, there was a black person on there. He actually had more money than most of you guys think he did. Like, he wasn't a poor black person. He actually had a lot of money. You know, I think he was Haitian or something. So I just feel like when people want to get on the high horses and like step on them stool, you know, those pedestals, like they're no things. And I'm just always like, before you be that ridiculous, because I'm petty enough to be like, I'm going to have to be, I'm just going to click a link and show you like what you were saying. Cause I'm petty. I'm going to be like, you said here sounding dumb. I'm going to make you sound even dumber. Cause that's what I do. But I do, in regards to that, I do understand. It's like, for me, I watched Fruit Rail Station once. I will not watch it again.
I can't. Like,
and my reasoning was literally, it was too traumatic for me. Yeah. I was heartbroken, and I knew because, I guess maybe because I knew it happened for real, and it was just like a retelling or a biopic or whatever, if you want to get the name right. But, and I, because I knew that it really happened, I personally could not watch it again.
I think maybe that's why I can't watch either of those, because I know that it actually happened. Because other movies I've seen, but they weren't real life. Maybe, yeah, you just made total sense. Yeah, that's why, because it's real. And like, this
I think at the end of the movie, they really showed, like, or they rather played the actual audio from it, and that hurt. And I was just like, yeah, I cannot watch. I refuse to watch this again. So I have not watched it again. And I do think it is important enough to tell the stories that are, like, bad, because it's, that's, you know, you can't always make history seem pretty. Exactly. You know, the fact they want to have people get rid of slave talks in history classes, I'm like, but that's what it was. Like, I mean, it might be embarrassing to y'all now, but this is what American history is. American history has always been bloody. It has always been, it's very rare in American history where there are periods where it was just honest goodness. For the most part, American history is not good. It's not pretty. And like, not just with, like, Black people, just with the natives, with them bombing other countries, with how their relations is, like, if you want to get how they treated people in their own country, like, if you want to get real technical, American history has not been the greatest. So I'm okay with a story being told if it's told correctly, if you need that sense. However, I do also agree that, unfortunately, it would be great to have more writing where it's just a story. It's literally just a coming of age story, or it's just a Black that's person centered having, around a good, having a good time, and they're just like, they're just growing up and enjoying a summer, or just enjoying their parents and friends, and it's not painful. And I feel like we do deserve that as well, where we can have the stories where it's painful and it's trauma, but we can also have the stories that are just light and happy, because people do have those. We have those moments where it's just nothing but, you know, it's good moments, and it's like, this is just a good memory from a summer memory or something. We have those. We have, you know, people with good parents and not, like, you know what I mean? Like, what they say, the stereotypes. So I do understand, I guess, both sides, but I do think a part of it is, like, what sells? And unfortunately, when you have a lot of companies where people in charge are not Black, they would rather you write the painful story, because they think that will be the one that would sell, and think that, because stereotypical, oh, Black's costly, we can't just be happy people and educated and everything else that you guys think we're not. So let's not write this, let's not take this story. So, yeah. I mean, and I don't want to say, because YA is pretty good for the most part with, like, at least publishing books. That's, like, you can get a mix of both, or badass, like, Black main protagonists where they're just doing really cool things and it's not just painful. So YA seems to be a bit of a curve with that for the most part, but in general, just with movies, TV shows in general, it's like, it would be nice to get the stories that's just, no, it's just a story and that's it, and it's just happiness or whatever that, whatever the genre is. It's not just like, oh my god, this person got beat up and killed and stabbed and teen pregnancy and, oh, they got one parent, like, whatever the stereotypes they like to have.
Right.
That's so, I get that in regards, but I also feel like, as I told people, is like, if I write for everything being as far as completely complaining, well, then I probably would never write.
Exactly. And that's literally my
I mean, I don't tend to write anything out of the box to that level, but, you know, if the story comes to me where I feel like this is the story it's being told, then that's what it is. And as long as I'm not intentionally doing something, and I mean people who, like, the reason why J.K. Rowling got canceled is because, you know, you was intentionally being transphobic. And that's the difference when you're doing something like, oh, no, I just don't care about those. You know, that level of I don't care, then just like, oh, I'm telling a story and I'm not, like, going out of my way to offend, because that's where I think the issue is. It's like, you can tell those ones who, like, oh, no, you just didn't give a shit about who you offended, or that this was probably incorrect and you didn't think it was a problem. And that's a little different, and you probably should be canceled, rather than, no, this is just a story, and sometimes every story is not pretty. I think people, I feel like social media makes it easy for people to have, like, all this say-so that they probably won't say to people's faces. I think social media makes it easier for people to, like, have an unsolicited opinion, honestly.
See, and I want to say, like, you know me. And this is what I was going to say before. I'm a weirdo. I love things that make me super emotional, especially when I'm reading books, especially when I'm writing books. Now, granted, I have very fluffy, happy books too. But obviously, you've read my books. You know how I am. I like to really get you in your feels. You're just like, oh my gosh, da da da, right? None of that is ever going to be centered because this character was Black or this character wasn't Black. If they are, yes, but it's not, you know what I mean? I think it's that, what is the word I'm looking for? That trope where it's, like you were saying, like the stereotype of it. It's like, oh, it's like this because this you're Black and this is what's happening. So there's a one parent home, there's this, there's that, because this character is Black. That bothers me. And also I wanna go back to what I was saying before. When I said, if it's 1800s, 1700s, yes, we're slaves. Let me clarify that. In America, because that's not, you know what I mean? If we're talking about, you know, things taking place here or even, you know, in London and things like that, or England, excuse me. But yeah, it's just like you're saying, I see it from both sides because I do get like Tyler Perry, for instance. I love him for the fact that he was homeless and he turned that into being a billionaire. But also this man has ruined so many male actors for me because they're all abusive and horrible people in these movies. So like, I get that when people go like, oh my gosh, I totally understand that, but I will never, ever, ever agree with telling a writer what to write unless it's like what you're saying, where you're intentionally being hateful, you know, because that's your personal belief and you're just being an ass. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that could be a whole different podcast, literally. just discussing, you know, that. But anyway, I want to switch it up a little bit. So now what we'll do is, of your 7,422 released books, which one, if an agent came to you, if Netflix came to you today with a $10 million deal, and they say, we want to option your book, you get to be the producer. Oh, I'm getting so emotional just thinking about how amazing that is. You get to be the producer and director, and you get to cast, and you get to be involved in everything, and we're not going to change anything.
Yeah.
You can oversee the script. What book are you choosing? And you can only choose one.
Oh, shit. This makes it harder.
I'm going to be like, Kim Robbins, and then...
this makes it harder. You know, it's funny because even though there's like, I mean, I love everything I've written and there's obviously ones I favor for different reasons, but I would say because my next release is actually the one I would probably go with. And my reasoning for it, it's literally just like a lighthearted type of like last year of high school type of like just lighthearted, fun, coming of age vibes. And it's like, there are obviously moments, but it's nothing like, where some of my other books touched on things that might have been a bit like sad or like might have got people like teary eyed or something. And this does not have that. It's literally just kind of the opposite of what I would like normally do in a book. And I think that's why. And because it's like YA, I feel like I can pull that on Netflix. And I would probably want unknown people just because I feel like, again, I like to things not to have expectations. I feel like if we have, once you know what an actor is capable of or not capable of, you kind of like, oh, what is this? Like how people was with, even though he's, because he surprised me, like how Heath Ledger was in the Batman movie. And
oh, yeah.
I was one of the people who was like, oh, why would y'all pick him? And forgetting that I did watch Brokeback Mountain, he was amazing in that movie. And I totally ignored that movie in favor of his other movies that I didn't care for. And I was like, but ew, why would you put him? He's supposed to be playing the Joker, my favorite DC villain of all time. And I was really upset. And then he completely shut me up. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Heath. Like, my bad, bro.
My bad, no.
Like, you totally shut me up. And I had to, like, if you know he was, I would have met him. I'd be like, yo, I doubted you. And my bad, because you completely shut me up. You completely blew me away as far as portraying one of my favorite, like, villains. So I feel like that's the thing, is with expectations, is like when you get and you're like, oh, I don't know, and then it's like that whole like the actor choice might overshadow the work because depending on what they may or may not have done yet. So I feel like I would want it to be that because again, it's really lighthearted, but also to have like completely unknown people. And it's called When the Stars Collide. So which hopefully would be up by the end of the year. That's the goal.
I love the title.
Yeah, it's I like have the cover and everything, and it's so pretty and it's perfect for what I was doing with this, and just super lighthearted. And I'm like, I needed this change again. considering how like 2020 was with my writing, this was something I needed to do that was just a total opposite of what I was feeling last year. So yeah, I feel like I would definitely, if it's like, even if it's a big picture or Netflix, Netflix pretty good with like their movie debuts. Like they usually put enough effort into it that I wouldn't mind Netflix. And I would like, God, that's like, I want that so bad to have like one of my things turn into like a movie. So it would be that story and just completely unknown actors because I would need it, no expectations. Like I feel like, again, if it's somebody known, you might be like, I don't know. And then that might throw off if a person may or may not watch it because they feel a way about the actor or the actress. So.
Right. I agree. I'm the same way. I think unknown actors all the time. like, just because we talked about this, we were talking about scary movies. Even everybody should know by now that I don't do scary movies at all. And what makes scary movies even, I don't even want to use the word better because they're all trash, but like, quote unquote, better is when they're unknown actors. To me, that makes it so much more real. So even though I don't like the Halloween movies, I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I've seen her on New Girl. I've seen her in Freaky Friday. Like, I know Jamie Lee Curtis is a popular, well-known actress. So the movie is scary, but it's just a movie because it's Jamie Lee Curtis. Watching I Know What You Did Last Summer, My Queen Brandy and Jennifer Love Hewitt. Is that the right one? Yeah, that's I Know What You Did Last Summer, right? Yeah. That when Brandy was in that, I saw that movie because that's my girl. That's Brandy. So it was a scary movie, but Brandy was in it. I know Brandy is not, well, she didn't die in that movie, right? I don't think
she actually, because I always say the trick is if there's two black people in a horror movie, one will live, the other will die. And
yeah, that's
Pied Piper died in that, but she did not. So that's, she was like,
Pied Piper.
Yeah, he died.
So watching that in my mind, I'm like, so even if, you know, Brandy gets her neck slit in a movie, I know Brandy did not get her neck slit, so I'm not scared. But if Bobby Joel from this little indie movie from 2001 dies in a movie, that person is dead in real life to me. And this really happened in this little place in Texas. Okay? Like, I know. So anyway. But anyway, so I agree with that. If I had to choose, I even think with my unpublished book, the only reason that would be cheating then, because I only made you pick one.
It is a lot harder when you're like, first pick one.
Because I didn't know you was going with unpublished stuff. I thought we were just doing published. So you, I already had two to go off of. You opened up a whole 30 other books. because I have one that I would want to see as a movie just because I'm having such a hard time writing it, but I can see it. And that's literally the only reason why. I just want to see my brain, like my brain and my fingers are not connecting to type it. So I would still pick We Are Immeasurable because in my mind, it's more, what is the word? Girl, words, where are you today? Why don't you help? It's very, I don't think I conveyed well enough how the book is in my mind because it was from a POV of a blind character. So I know what I saw when I wrote the book. And it was very fantastical. That's the word I was looking for. And those sweet moments on the boat and on the football field and things like that, they were very fantastical. And I can see the sky and I can see the water and the sunsets. And just when they went to hear the music play and I see the trees and the color of the blanket, like all that stuff that you as a reader, you don't see it. So I don't know what other readers saw when they were reading the book. So that is the main reason why I would want to see it, because you know I want to be a director. And because to me, the book is a lighter book for like 80% of the book, I would maybe 75% of the book. Mm-hmm. In my mind, if it was a movie, it's just bright. It's light. I feel like Barnaby wears bright colors. I feel like just the pigment, you know how the hue, you know how Twilight had like the blue hue in the beginning.
Yeah.
And New Moon had like the brown hues and things like that. In my mind, it's a very light and playful hue. And then when shit gets real, it's just a very different demeanor, just tone. And I think that a book about a blind character being that vividly like cinematic would be awesome. And I feel like the way I describe things, no one really got to see that because it's not like I could use the character to describe it for you. So like I had to cheat a lot of and try to have like Barnaby describe stuff, but I still don't think it sit the way I see it in my head. So I would pick that one just for that simple fact. And yeah, I think that's it. Because I don't think Her Butterfly Diary, I wouldn't want to see that as a movie. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's so much. I feel like that would be more of like a very drawn out TV show. And like, you find out in the finale what happened or something. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I think I would pick We Are Immeasurable.
See, you just said like Her Butterfly Diary of like a series. And I could just think now, especially certain scenes, I have to wait till next week for the next episode.
See, and that's
and
how I
would, and I would be right on Twitter like, first of all, why do I have to?
It was Oscar.
Like, now I gotta wait next week. Because I hate, like, when I tell you I prefer when an episode is all there so I can binge. Because I hate when it, especially if it's getting good. And I'm like, I gotta be waiting a whole 7 days. Oh. Like, that's really long. 7 days is a long time when you need to find out what happened next in the episode. Like, that's a really long time for me. So,
streaming done got me spoiled. Because we grew up with that. We had no choice. We had to wait.
I know. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm such a complainer. Like, I'm so impatient now. Because I'm, like, I'm acting like we didn't do this with other shows all the time. But there's now it's like, if I'm gonna show on them streaming services and they were like, oh, we're gonna make you wait next week. But I was like, what do you mean wait next week? How about no? You put all the episodes right here so I can binge, like, shenanigans. I mean, there's no excuse for making us wait anymore. That's what streaming is for. So I don't like that anymore. I know I got really patient, and then I think it's because they allowed us to binge. But I think I would be irritated. Like, you would hear me complain a lot on Twitter. I'd be like, first of all, what is this? Like, why am I waiting? Even if I know what's happening, I'm just gonna be mad. Because I'm like, first of all, why are we doing this? Like, why can't you just give me all the answers? Even though I actually know what's going to happen, I will still feel away about this.
That's why I see Her Butterfly Diary as, like, TV. Just because I feel like with We Are Immeasurable, there wouldn't be that much you would have to cut. You know, everything that goes from book to script to screen, whatever, something has to be cut usually, or things have to be added when it's TV. I feel like there was so much packed into Her Butterfly Diary that absolutely, like what you said, just the first episode, just the first like chapter would be a whole episode, because you're finding out about adoption, you're finding out that it wasn't a consensual, you kind of infer that it wasn't a consensual type thing, you know what I mean? But back to like the streaming, another reason why I can only deal with shows that are streaming, because also ABC and NBC and Fox like to cancel stuff so quick. There's a show called Rebel on ABC. I always tell
myself, yeah, I heard about it being canceled. I was like, this show just came out.
I always tell myself, Britt, if you're interested in a show, don't watch it until the full season is out, and then you'll know if it's canceled or not, so you don't get into it, because I done let ABC get me a couple times, and it's always a Shonda freaking Rhimes show that they do that with me, right? So the same producers of Shonda shows, it's not Shonda show, but it's her producers, do Rebel. 25 minutes into the first episode, I was sold. It's Katie Sagal. It's just a great show. Three episodes in, they talk about ABC canceling. I'm like, this is why I don't deal with y'all. This should have been on Netflix. I could have got me at least 10 episodes and been good. A lot, like, it leaves on cliffhangers. There's multiple storylines. Again, Katie Sagal is just, to me, she's like white people royalty when it comes to like actors. I just love her. I love her Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
I loved her. Obviously, it's Peggy. Come on. And I love her in The Conners. And yes, I still watch The Conners. Shut up. Don't anybody cancel me. The Conners is a good show. And Roseanne's not on it anymore. So stop. Don't attack me. But anyway. But yeah, so that's why I think streaming has spoiled me too, because at least if a show is not renewed, I'm going to get a full season and I will know going in. For the most part, we kind of know going in if something's going to be renewed or not, because you can tell if it's in the top 10 on Netflix, you know it's going to be renewed. That's almost science at this point.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, so I think... Man, I'm mad that you picked the non-release book, because that's really messing with my head right now.
Yeah, my reason was only because I, like, there are like moments in my books where there's lighthearted moments, but I feel like a lot of my characters and the ones that I did publish, there's like parts that might be difficult for some people, and or might be like, do I want a person to like see this and be sad, or do I want this person to generally just like, oh, this was a, like, you see how like what I want to say the sun is also a star, because I feel like everything had like its moments where you're like, well, damn. I feel like yeah. The sun is also a star, right? It was outside of the thing with his parents. The story is pretty lighthearted, and I think that's what yeah. I like. Like, it's not like there's nothing really overly heavy in it, and yeah. that's what I mean. It's like, I feel like because this story is particularly it's purposely lighthearted because it's the opposite of everything I was feeling last year. And I feel like if I want to, like, if this was like a debut movie for me and I was having a chance to have another one, I would start off something lighthearted and then maybe ease on something that might be a little bit like tougher for the audience to like swallow. So that's why I picked it. Because it's my next one and I'm like, this is my next release. That was like, yeah, I would go with this because it's super lighthearted. It's literally the opposite of every bad feeling I felt in 2020.
See, you see me, I came out the gate like I'm making all you bitches cry. I am sorry.
Yeah, and you know, that's why that you got what you call it as a movie. I see in Going Again, even though I already know what the ending is, I'm gonna still be that person. Like, so first of all, you guys, like, let me just tell you about this movie here, you know, because shenanigans. And I'm gonna be complaining, and you might get a whole podcast of me alone just complaining about the fact that I'm like, so I knew this was happening because, you know, I did read it at all and cried on New York City streets. Like, I gotta always let people know that I cried. But like, you know, New York is like, you'll just be crying. I thought that out. And I was crying on New York City streets and all. And even though I knew this was happening some years ago, I still feel away. And here we are. Now I got to see a picture of a person. Now, for real, I see the person now. Barnaby exists. Like, there's a picture to his face now. And now I'm really upset. So, it's going to be like a whole blog post. It's going to be like a podcast. Like, this is going to be an episode without my co-host today because I just got to let her know how I'm feeling right now.
God. I'm like, guys, BL is not here today. So let's hash it out.
So I'm just like, if that ever happens, just know that that's what you're going to get from me. Like, I'm going to be saying it's beautiful. Be honest. But I'm still going to be upset. So
I'd probably cop out. Can I be real? If here's the thing. Before, you know how everybody goes like, oh, you can only have a YA book if these things happen and da-da-da-da. So back when I was reading all those kind of books, so I purposely, mindfully said, I want to write a book about a sick character. I want to write a book. Is it a spoiler? Well, you know what I'm trying to say. I want to write something where it's sad at the end. Like, I went in like that. It wasn't like with Her Butterfly where I know where the hell that story was going. It just was like, all right, turn left to right. I was like, okay, this person has this. This is what's gonna happen to that person, da 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 da. Now, because I like, it was never on purpose to have two books come out that were emotionally draining like that. So like, now that's like my reputation. Oh, I write sad shit. I think I'd probably cop out if Netflix came to me and said, hey, $2 million. I'm like, listen, I wrote the alternate ending. It's still a great book. It'd just be like, what was the reason of the book ever even being made? If things are just going to be happy at the end for that particular like meaning of the story, I'd probably cop out for real. Just for exactly everything you said. Because I don't want out the gate people just thinking, oh my God, like what is, you know what I mean? I was in a different place. I started that book in 2016.
See, I feel like you have enough fans of that book, though, that if random people, like, you know, I'm just going to be difficult because I'm going to be difficult. But I mean, as far as random people, you got fans that are going to be like, first of all, y'all wrong. So I feel like you will be fine with your fan base. I just plan on being difficult because I still feel away. But, you know, I just hold things in and hold them for a long period of time. So,
oh, yeah, it's like, only going on 3 years.
Yeah, so like in 10 years from now, and you probably have like mad books finished, I'm still gonna be like, so you know that one time you had me crying outside because, you know, just had to be cool. That's gonna be me. So just, I'm just telling you, I'm gonna be difficult because that's what I do.
And that's my
every time I hear a book about Seth, I always think of that book and I'm like, you're the person that had me crying. You're the person. This time I see you be my tag, you're gonna be like, yo, you understand. This was me. Emotional and stuff.
See, for some reason, it's just, I don't know why, that is my sweet spot. I love writing drama. Like, I love writing sad and heartbreaking things. So yes, I do have fluff, but it's actually like harder for me to write like, fluffy things. Like, I have it, but I really have to. It's just my default is I can pull emotional things because you have to look at the stuff. I keep trying to cuss on this show today. You can look at the things that I consume. Like, some of my favorite shows of all time are based off of like Grey's Anatomy and Scandal. This Is Us is literally one of the most saddest but happiest shows you'll ever watch. That's my catnip. Like, that's my sweet spot. So when, and that's why I went back to that trauma stuff. Like, when I'm writing stuff, it ain't because they're Black. It's because I'm really like comfortable trying to make you cry. So like, even my book that I consider the fluff one, the one I was just talking about with the white boy and the Black girl.
Yeah.
It's actually a very, very, very sad like breakup scene in this book that in my mind, I'm like, oh, because nobody died and nobody got raped, this is a fluffy book. But in hindsight, how this happens, it's really freaking sad. I'm like, do I have any fluff? What's my definition? Because remember I was telling you, Colleen from BookCon, remember Colleen?
Yeah.
She was one of the beta, the very first beta reader for We Are Immeasurable because she had so much insight on blind characters for me that really helped develop Maisie. And I had made a post saying, oh, my next book is going to be fluff. And she was like, oh, sweetie, you don't know what fluff is. And I'm like, what? She was like, when you sent me We Are Immeasurable, you told me that this was a light book. And I was like, it is. Because in my mind, if you compare it to her Butterfly Diary, the whole book is light. And she's like, this girl has cancer. Her parents are dead. I'm like, wait. Wait, that's not what I meant. They didn't die in the book. They just like, I literally, so my definition, so anyway, long ramble short, I just think that I'm like a Shonda Rhimes type thing. She likes to get reactions out of people. She likes to make you fall in love with the characters and then rip them away. And that's really my jam. I really vibe with that. So hopefully what my definition of fluff comes out, people will be like, oh, this is different than the other two. And then they don't just be like, this is just like the first two, except no one's dying, you know. Actually, one person does die in the book, but you don't know that person. Like, I don't think it's going to matter. Like, they're not, you never see this character. This character's talked about in the book, so I don't think it counts. Whatever. Anyway. Oh, I'm learning a lot about myself. Is this is like these podcasts are like therapy sessions and learn. But anyway, this was a fun show. I don't think I don't think we got too off topic. So if you guys remember 58 minutes ago, the topic was books that we would want to see a movie. So I think we stayed in the lane. We stayed in there a little bit. Is there anything you want to add or any other books? I literally could not think of anything. So that's why I switched it to our stuff. Because literally my top books are already, oh, Orbiting Jupiter. I guess I'd like to see that as a movie. But anyway, that's but again, that's super, super sad. It's a very sad book. Makes you cry. but anyway, do you have any other ones you want to add?
I think the only other one I'm thinking, because I know there's many, but I think the one that just came to me is One of Us Is Lying, just because I kind of want to see if they can pull that off in a series. Like, it could probably get pulled off in maybe one, but I would like to see if they pull it off well. I don't think I can see it as a movie, but I think I can see it as a series. That's
Lockhart, right?
I believe so.
That's not, okay. When you said One of Us Is Lying, my brain automatically went to Adam Silver. And I'm like, that's not him. That's the lady who does One of Us Is Lying.
Yeah.
His is like more happy than not. One of Us Dies at the End or something. I was getting those mixed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I think, okay. I think his is One of Us Dies at the End, which is really crazy because I'm actually like, I know his brother. His brother's a wrestler. So when he was saying, I think one of his books is becoming a movie or a show or something, I was like, you know how crazy it is that he's like one of my favorite authors, and I happen to be a fan of you as a wrestler. That's like so funny.
If I'm not mistaken, he said two of his things are becoming something. I don't know if they're both TV shows or both movies or one or the other, but that's where I got the idea of ask the question, because he had tweeted that he's like directing on it and he's doing like the script. And I'm just like, that is the dream, because so many people, you know, well, not so many people, people who are authors that get their books optioned, it's pretty much they're paying for the book and then that's it. Like, you don't really get too much say. So the authors who are able to be on set and, you know, have a say in what they do and who they cast, that's amazing, because these are our babies. Like,
yeah,
I think you and I talked about this before. I think the example was like, if you were offered a whole bunch of money and they took your book, but they wanted to switch like your main stuff, would you do it? And I think the example was, like, if it was her Butterfly Diary, but they made Zoe a cheerleader and she's prepping, da da da, I don't think I could. As much as I want money, as much as I want to be paid big bucks for my art, it will defeat the entire purpose of who Zoe is. If she literally, my favorite comment was, or, you know, anything that people said to me was how dark and depressing Zoe was until later on in the book. I love that. That's how she was supposed to be. She had reason, you know what I mean? So if somebody came in and just like said, oh, we're going to make her, you know, 5'11" with blonde hair and a cheerleader, and I would be like, I can't, no way at all. And I'm sure you feel the same way about that too. And that is a lot of money though. Am I for real?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, the money is good, but if it completely took away from something I knew I put like some effort into and it's not my story anymore, I don't know if I'll be happy with that.
Because, like, what's the point of wanting to option my book then? Just, you know,
how if you're going to change that much of it, then you might as well just have pay me to write something that will fit what you want it to fit, rather than take something that I know I see it in my head a certain way.
Give me $2 million. I'll just do that instead. If you don't
want to. Yeah, like, if you want that much, you dislike my writing, then I will write something for you. But don't, I feel like if it's that much of a change to like characters or personality traits, or like if certain parts of how they were is what make the character, then no, I would be upset by that, because it's like, this is not my story anymore.
Exactly. And I think I use that example. I think that's what happened with I don't mean to mention it for the fourth time, but that's essentially what happened, like, with Twilight. Initially, when it was first happening, they were trying to make it super happy, like a happier book. And Rob and Kristen were the ones, like, Rob almost got fired. He said this in an interview, because he was kept being told that they weren't smiling enough and that they were too brooding. And what made Twilight sell? Literally, it was because they were dark and broody and, like, not smiling. Could you imagine if Bella was just walking down the street with a pink shirt and Edward's all happy? He's trying not to murder her. Why the hell would he be smiling?
Yeah, I feel like, for him, I'm like, no, he was very depressed. And, like, especially after reading Midnight Sun.
Oh, yeah. He was super
depressed. He was so depressed. Like, he was, like, he needed a therapist. I'm like, you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to write your feelings out. He was very emotional.
And I feel like... Night Son. So he knew that, no, you guys are telling me to do this wrong. Like, I read the first 254 pages. He is not a happy guy. Like,
yeah, he was really, like, depressing and emotional. I can't see him being like, that wouldn't fit him, because he literally, like, I understood him so much more.
And that's what made it special. So when they do smile, it makes it that much more, you know, it's like a real genuine feeling, because he's not just going into bio.
Yeah,
smiling like, oh, I'm in love with this girl, I'm trying not to kill her. Like, what the hell, I'm 120 years old and I'm in high school, this is so
fun. The fact that he literally left town to go live somewhere else,
yes.
That's such a drastic thing to do, that there's no way he's going to be walking around smiling.
And he had the Dolly chick trying to throw it back at him, and he was like, nah, like, listen. He was deprived in so many different areas. Think about it. He was deprived in so many areas. He was, like, MegaCon, like, stressed. You know what I mean? Like, is MegaCon a word? I think I just made that up, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Just super, super just deprived in multiple areas in his life for a very long time. So I think it's important where you got to put your foot down. Like, and it's easy to say, like, oh, I wouldn't do that because, like, the real, you know, Netflix coming to me with $10 million is not going to happen. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I say that now, but if y'all catch me in these streets and y'all see that her Butterfly Diary was optioned and Zoe is a cheerleader and I'm in a mansion, mind your business. I'm just saying.
Listen, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes.
I'm just kidding. I really think I'm kidding though. I really don't. It's just, ooh, that's a lot of money. I don't know why I put $10 million, like, that's like the thing. It would probably be more like a few hundred thousand for something like that. I don't know. But if everything is different when you're actually in it versus speaking hypothetically. So I have to, you know, let's see how much I care when there's an actual check in front of me. But right now, I'm dead ass. Like, right now, I believe that I never turn my back on my characters. for $10 million, for a measly $10 million. I'd never do it. I'm true to my art. I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit. Erykah Badu. That's an asthma attack. So anyway, this was a wonderful show. Kay, I love you. This is where we're. This is where we're ending it, because I literally don't have another book to add, and I really haven't read anything other than my own work in a very embarrassingly long time. So I'm not going to tell you guys how long. Kay knows how long. I just don't want to be dragged in the comments. So thank you so much for listening. Hope you all enjoy your week. We love you so much, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Look, you see how I did it so naturally?
Yes, I know. Yes. Look how you just did it with ease.
Next time I'll do it, I won't call it out. Next time we'll just end it. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.